Okay, we're ready to start. This is our last class for the summer. And we'll be breaking till the fall. As it is, the numbers are dwindling and they get smaller as we go on. So I timed it just right. We have one more class left to go. We did the beginning blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei. We did the ending blessings. We're finishing up the middle 13 blessings. Now we're on page 108, 109 in the Aruch Scroll Siddur. We're dealing with the blessing of Shema Kolenu. Okay, so we've basically gone through the primary blessings. We've dealt with the private needs, the private spiritual needs, the private physical needs for an individual. And the last six, we've been focusing on the communal needs, the spiritual communal needs, and the physical communal needs. And now we kind of wrap up the middle section of Shemoneh Esrei with the following. So first I'm just going to read it. Going to give you a basic understanding, and then we'll be more particular in how we're focusing on some of the words. But the simple prayer is Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, our God, please listen to our kol, listen to our voice. Chus v'rachem aleinu, have pity and compassion upon us. V'kabel b'rachamim uv'ratzon es tefilaseinu, and accept with mercy and with favor or with acceptance our prayers. Why? Because you are a God who listens to tefillos, to prayers, and to supplications. And don't turn us away empty-handed. Because you are the one who hears the prayers of your nation Israel with mercy. Blessed are you, Hashem, who is shomea tefillah, who listens to the tefillah of the Jewish people. Who listen to the prayers of the Jewish people. So, to start off, we'll read you, I'll paraphrase from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in his Sefer Yaros Devash, a number of important points that he says that you should be thinking about in this bracha. Okay, from a halachic point of view, we know that in this blessing, you are entitled to make significant personal insertions. As you see on the bottom of page 108 and 109, it says, during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, one may insert either or both of these personal prayers, one for livelihood and one for forgiveness. And they incorporated this personal prayer. And the truth, at that point of Umilfanecha Malkeinu Rekom Al Tishivenu, you can really add any prayer you want to add at this point. And in any language, this is an optimal point to do this. So with that in mind, let me just read for you some of the ideas that Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz tells us. He says, in this bracha, you should focus your goals to Hashem, pray for Him for all your needs, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, and you shouldn't leave anything out that you don't daven to Hashem. If you need a shidduch for yourself or for your children, pray to Hashem. For business, pray to Hashem you should be successful and He should guide you in the straight path. He says, in general, there's nothing that you want, there should be nothing in this world that you want that you're not praying to Hashem for to make you successful and to guide you in the proper path in that which you want. So no matter how trivial it may seem to you, and how unimportant it may seem to you, you can ask whatever you want from Hashem. And certainly it goes without saying, if God forbid you're in a terrible calamity, that you should be davening for that. That goes without saying if you've got a major problem in your life. But even the smallest thing, you know, my child should do good in school today. He's a little anxious about school. He has a test today. Hashem, help him that the test should be an easier test. You know, my daughter is going for her to write the written test to get her license. So let it be that she should pass the test, right? And if you have a simcha, you should daven that you shouldn't sin at your simcha, and that no sin should come about. Those are very good breeding grounds for lots of averas, or simchas, right? And we know that Eov himself, when things were good, he would always bring offerings to God for atonement after any time he had a big simcha, in case people things got out of hand a little bit. You know, Simcha is a time where you can do a lot of averos, lots of averos, especially Bali Simcha. Because as I've always said, when a person makes a Simcha, they are usually not 100% rational during the time of the Simcha. There's a lot of emotion going on, and quite often a lot of expense involved, and there's a lot of factors going on that a person, unless they're very, very stable, really stable, that usually something goes wrong to upset the Baal Simcha. Right? This one didn't come. So you start talking to people, you know, that guy's look good for nothing. He said he's coming. I spent $100 a plate. He didn't show up. What a worthless guy. You're going to say lashon hara about that person. You know, somebody, you know, didn't smile at you with a high enough elevation of the cheekbone. They must not be that happy for my simcha. That person didn't shake my hand 13 times. I've been counting every time. And the average person shook my hand 13 times. They only shook my hand 3 times. They must not like me. It's sad, but that's the reality. Or on another level, you know, you have you drink a little and you might do things you're not supposed to do. You know, men looking at the ladies. You know, certain averos that happened at where there's mixed affairs. So there's a lot of averos. The kashrus might not be 100% correct. There's many averos that happen during a simcha. You know, you eat food, you forget the bench. Right? There's a lot of things going on, and it's a breeding ground for wonderful things too. But because the nature of a simcha is so complex, and there's a lot of emotions running, it could very well be a place for many averos. So as you're coming up to a simcha, you should daven to Hashem. You should daven that we're able to do all the mitzvahs we should be able to do. You get so involved in the simcha, you know, you stop learning Torah for months on end, preparing for the simcha. Yeah, there's a lot of averos that happen. So you have to pray that things shouldn't happen. And he says as well that when you pray, you should, you know, really, you should even pray in your own language, even if it's not in Hebrew. If you don't know how to pray in Hebrew, you should pray in your own language, and that's very precious to Hashem, as if you daven the most beautiful, lengthy, clear, beautiful prayers in Hebrew. A sincere prayer in English, if that's your best tongue, at this point, in this section only, is very dear before Hashem. And he says, and through this prayer, Hashem will listen to our voices, and benefits will come out of this. Because such a prayer is certainly a prayer with kavana. It's with concentration and focus. We never want a situation where your mouth says one thing and your heart isn't with you, which happens quite often when you say the same repetitive prayer. But if every day you pray something new for what you really need at that time and you arrange that idea clearly in your mouth before you say it, obviously that needs a lot of concentration and thought, because it's not possible to make a unique request for something you're not thinking about specifically. And that would be the real prayer. He says, Kizeh Iker HaTfilah. This is the main part of prayer, something that comes from the depths of your heart. So what he's saying, see, up until now you've been kind of locked into the standard prayers. Although technically you could add, but it's generally not done. And if you are, maybe better to think and not to say. But here it is clearly a place where one should add to what your personal need is for that day. And he's talking about a very important idea, because we find that when you pray the same routine prayer every day, you just go on automatic pilot, and your lips are just moving, and you're going, and you're thinking about something else, and before you know it, you're on page 112. It's time to take your steps back, and you didn't really say anything to Hashem, you didn't feel anything to Hashem. So how can you ensure that that happens? So you have to have a unique thing that you're asking about today that you didn't ask about yesterday. That forces it to be a prayer of concentration and dedication. And as we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah talks, the Chafetz Chaim talks a lot about this. And he says, he really says it's a problem. A lot of people have like a standard list of things, and they just repeat that list every day. You know, for example, there's certain sick people. So we have this list. 25 sick people on my list. I pray for them every day. I pray the same thing for my kids, same thing for this, same thing for that. He says, if you do all that and you never change it, it's really not a good thing to be doing. for two reasons. Number one, even though it's a personalized list, but even a personalized list after the 30th time becomes mechanical, and you lose that focus. And more than that, what you've accomplished now, negatively, by saying the same text that you've created every day, is you've added a new text to the prayer service. The men of the Great Assembly said, this is the text. Okay, so if one day you have a unique request, yes, by all means, make a unique request. But if every day for the last 30 days, 60 days, a year, it's the same thing, so you've put a new standardized text into the equation. So that's not good either. And therefore, what he's really saying is that, especially in Shema Tefillah, before you're going to get to Shema Tefillah, you really should think and say to yourself, what is it that I really need today that I didn't need yesterday and I might not need tomorrow? And when you get down to that level, more than that, it's what do I need this afternoon that I didn't need this morning that I will not need tonight, because I'm going to be saying Shema Esrei three times if you're a man. So that means something has to have happened since I finished davening at 8 o'clock till I'll daven mincha at 2 o'clock. That it has to be something new that I have to talk to Hashem about. Which is really, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. You know, like sometimes, you know, when we have guests at the table, we try to do this as often we can at home, we go Friday night, we go around the room, everyone has to tell us a pleasure they had during the week. You know what? That can be a big stressor for people who never stop and think of what they're doing in their lives. What really gave you pleasure this week? I don't know. I've been complaining the whole week. I never stopped to think that anything good happened. And then if the person has to go back, it gets very hard. And you have to start really finding small, small pleasures that really are very pleasurable. But since you're in a rush with so many things, it kind of gets lost. So just like that could be an awkward thing. So really, it's not like, what are you talking to God about? You just spoke to him at 7 o'clock. What do you have to bother him again at 2 o'clock? Well, I have to daven. Okay, but it shouldn't just be I have to daven. So what's happened in the last 6 hours to change your life? And what may happen in the next 6 hours that will change your life? What's on your mind? So, you know, so now you got to get kind of focused and detailed. So it could be, for example, some of you may be going food shopping this afternoon. Right? Anybody going food shopping this afternoon? Going to No Frills? Okay. So there's a lot to daven for before you go to No Frills. Right? You go to No Frills. First, Hashem, please give me a good parking space. That's not silly. That is not silly. Because everything can make your life easier. Right? And wouldn't you rather have a better parking space? You want to park all the way 7 rows back? Especially if you're carrying a little baby in one arm. It's a lot easier to have a good parking space. Make sure that I have a quarter. Instead of having to have to run in and wait 10 minutes till they'll give me change for a quarter. Make sure I have a quarter. Make sure I've got a carriage that the wheel works properly. You know, you have those in your, right in the store, and it's one of those wheels that's going to go round and round. Right? You know, that the wheel should be proper. And that I'm able to get to the right foods and good foods, you know, that make sure they put out the fresh meat today and not the old meat. And that I have a line that I don't have to wait so much. That when I come, the line should open just for me. And it shouldn't spend a half an hour, because if I could get home early, I could do better things than that. It's, you know, and you know, whatever it is, and that is not silly. Because what you're doing is you're sharing your life with Hashem. You see, and that's what's critical. So really, a lot did happen. You know, every time you go shopping, you know, you're going to meet people there. It's a great place to talk Lashon Hara. You know, a great place to talk Lashon Hara is the supermarket. And he says, Hashem, please help me that I don't talk any Lashon Hara when I'm in the supermarket. And if anything, maybe I could do a chesed with somebody when I'm in this. Give me a chance to do a chesed. Give me a chance that when I'm in the line, a person's missing a quarter and I could be the one to give them a quarter. Right? So that's really living the moment. Exactly what should be lived, as opposed to life just goes on. What do you think happened to him? Nothing. You know? And you lose that relationship with Hashem. And that's what he continues. He says the Iker Toelis, the main benefit of this whole process, is to implant in your heart that a person isn't just subject to chance, happen, circumstances. that you don't have to daven. The wind blows as it goes, and you know, it's luck of the draw, and that's all there is. But rather, everything depends on the mazel that you have and how Hashem guides your life and the supervision involved. Right? And that's critical. And that, and how Hashem sets all your steps. And you don't even cut your little finger unless from heaven above it's been decreed that it should be cut. So Hashem is very involved in your life. And so keep that focus, and prayer will help you to keep that focus. And how, if that's the case, you'll take it to heart. I have to be very careful to listen to everything Hashem says. Because if every little thing comes from Hashem, so whatever happens, if it's a little pain or a little suffering, it's all from Hashem. And any profit, any good thing, it all is from Hashem. Right? And therefore, why should you just do what you want and do things that will get Hashem upset? So for example, if everything you're asking from is from Hashem, you'll never come to sin. For example, let's say a person is davening for a shidduch. Person needs a wife. So one thing's for sure, he should have in mind, and if Hashem gives me a wife, I shouldn't let my wife dress in a way that's not sneistic, and we shouldn't do things that aren't sneistic when we are together. You know, we shouldn't violate God's Torah. I should only be with her when I'm allowed to be with her, etc., etc. And if you're asking for children, you only want to have children. It should never be on your mind that you should cause your children to sin. You want a child, that means you're going to send them to a Jewish day school. If what you're getting is coming from God, you're going to do with that gift the way God wants you to use that gift. You wouldn't want to raise your children in a bad environment that they do things like the secular world does. Right? And if you're having daughters, you'll raise them to be proper, modest girls the way they're supposed to be, and you'll marry them off to Torah scholars. Right? Would a person ever ask something from someone, and the thing you're going to give me, I'm going to use it to upset you? Would never do such a thing. So that's really what the focus of this prayer is all about. That, you know, and really we should be thinking deeply in every one of the 13 prayers. But this is like the catch-all. There's nothing really specific that we're asking for in this prayer. Everything else had a specific thing that everybody needs those specific. Everybody needs das, everyone needs intellect, everybody needs to be healthy, right? But not everybody has to wait in line for half an hour, Sobeys. Right? That might be your issue, but not the husband's issue if he never goes shopping. Right? Not everyone has a mother-in-law that drives them crazy, but you do. Right? So you got it. That's uniquely your issue. Everyone has unique issues in life. Everyone has a child that just drives them crazy, right? Or a boss at work that drives, and that's your problem, somebody else's problem. Where does that fit into the Shemona Esrei? So you're saying it fits in right here in Shema Koleno. And the more we really focus that every little thing is important, the more you realize the reality of Hashem's involvement in your life. So that's a very hard thing. It's not an easy thing to do when you're davening Shemona Esrei. So before you start Shemona Esrei, you should think, what is it that I really need to ask for God for now? And even if it's a small thing, it's an important thing. You're going on vacation. The vacation should be a peaceful vacation. The trip, you know, right before vacation, very stressful time. An hour or two before you get in the car and pack up the kids, right? It's like really high stress. Right? So that morning, you're down, Hashem, please, let the preparations for vacation go smoothly, and that my husband shouldn't get lost or be too embarrassed to ask for directions. Right? And that, you know, and that the kids aren't screaming in the car, that my husband's going crazy, and they're throwing food at each other in the car, and we shouldn't get a flat tire in the car, and we should go to Shalom and get to where we have to go. Right? That's what to pray. Right? Because if it doesn't go right, that means Hashem, you know, is telling you a message too. Right? There was a hand? What?
Yeah, so when it comes to, I'm always getting confused with this, when it comes to situations that are going on that are extremely important in your life, for example, somebody you know who's terminally ill, a situation of unemployment that impacts your life in a tremendous way on a day-to-day basis, is it wrong? Should there be only X amount of times a week that you daven for it? Should you not make it go on for months?
Listen, you could still daven every day, but I think the impact of it changes. It's not just they should be better. There's a lot to a sickness, you know. Okay, the person is sick. They have to get treatments. Yeah, Hashem, that this week's treatment shouldn't be so painful. That's an aspect within. Of course, we want the person to be better. But you know what? They're not going to get better by tomorrow. So what are you davening for? Right? Keep it focused. Of course, we want them to get better. But right now, they're going for chemotherapy today. So now, what's the prayer for today? From Shacharis to Mincha, from Mincha to Marv. Right? The person has chemotherapy this morning. It should be easy. You know, the traffic shouldn't be so heavy. It's a big schlep. They should be seen right away. They shouldn't have to wait 3 hours till it's their turn. Whatever. And when they're finished, they shouldn't feel so sick this time. It's within that aspect. Because it's not just a person gets sick. You know, there is details to sickness, Chas v'Shalom, and those details are very important to the person who's sick. Very important. And even within a sickness, there's an easier way to deal with a sickness and a more difficult way to deal with a sickness. There's a more peaceful way to go, a less peaceful way to go. There are those who get cured, there are those who don't get cured. So there's that overall request, but that really shouldn't be every day, that same overall request, because that just becomes rote. And the truth is, if you don't really know so many people, you know, just have a list of 57 names, you don't even know someone in Chicago has a sick baby. You know, I don't really know how helpful that is, because I don't really know how personal and sincere it is. You have to be a big tzaddik. I'm not saying you can't, but I know for me, if they just tell me, oh, somebody over there, I just can't relate to it. You know, there's thousands of Jewish people who are sick. So you're going to give me a list of 1,000 people. Generally, people you know have some connection to at all. That will feel for you more than, yes, a Jew in Australia is sick. That's terrible, but how, you know, only a holy tzaddik could literally fall apart from everybody like that. But we really can't. So it's a challenge. Yeah?
Rabbi, when do you actually do this? Before you
stop dabbing,
do you...
Right in Shema Kolenu, right on page 108. So, right in the middle where that little circle is. Umilfanecha malkeinu reikam al tishivenu. Right, the last word on 108, 109. Our King, turn us not away empty-handed. Now, and especially this morning, I'm going to Sobeys. Last week, I remember I waited an hour and a half in line. It was a cashier who couldn't count, couldn't do anything. It was mean to me. And I was upset the rest of the day. Please give me a line that goes straight through, and the person is nice to me. And then you continue, Kiatosh, and because you listen to all our prayers. That's not foolish. That's not foolish. That's very important. Yeah?
Can you ask for many things?
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
But how much do you need from the morning to the afternoon? What do you need from. You got the next prayer any of you could daven is Mincha, let's say. Okay? So you're going to daven Mincha at 2 o'clock, or whatever you're going to daven Mincha. Okay, what do you need from 2 o'clock till tonight? You know, don't pray for, let me win the lottery that I have a ticket on 3 weeks from now. You know, if the lottery is tonight, okay, let me win the lottery tonight. Not just let me be a millionaire. What do you need from now till tonight? You know, or say, you know, I need a big blessing, you know. I need to get a new job. Right? Okay, so something I can do from today till tonight? Yeah, you know, have somebody who's looking at my resume give me a call today. Something like that. Yeah?
There's some things that are more important, very important, and others that are more trivial, like studies. So shouldn't I pray for the things that are really important, even if it's every day?
No, you don't. You pray for everything as you need it, when you need it.
So if somebody is praying for children, for a child.
Okay, if every day you're going to say the same prayer every day, it's not going to be effective. It's not going to be effective. Well, God already heard you. He heard you. He didn't hear you yesterday? How much are you going to nudge him for the same thing, you know? Okay, if you have a better way to say it. But generally, they don't. Generally, you don't. It's just, give me a child, you know. You say, you know, today I especially understood why it was because I saw all the other people. I went to a graduation today, and if you would give me a child, my child would have graduated, and they would have a lot of Torah, and this gives me a deeper reason to ask you for a child. Okay? But generally, 3 times a day, 7 days a week, you're going to run out of reasons. No reasons. And, you know, you maybe leave it for, you know, and then you could leave it for certain days of the week are more mesugal, more destined for certain prayers to get answered over others. You know, it don't come hacking away at the same thing like a broken tape recorder. It's really not what Hashem is wanting to hear. He's not interested in your enlarged version of a rote prayer. Your personal rote prayer. He's not interested in that either. And you shouldn't be interested in that either. You've got to make it real personal for right now. Why do I... So, you know, like for a time I was always praying that my children should be good and God-fearing. So then, you know, after a while, you know, sometimes I just, in the morning I say, I pray, Hashem, I know my wife has got 3 kids up who don't like to get out of bed. Hashem, make it that the children want to get up with alacrity in the morning. You know, I don't have to pray for them to be tzaddikim and this and that. Listen, if they want to go to school and they should get up early enough to have breakfast, to be in a good mood, it's a long carpool, they should come to school in a happy mood. That's what I need in this morning. Of course I want them to be tzaddikim. Okay? But I'm not going to nudge God every day for that. I'm going to nudge him every day for that. I say, today, my son is taking a test. You know, I hope he doesn't get so nervous. I hope he has a good... He's bringing a soccer ball today. I hope he gets to play with friends and the bullies don't take it away from him and make him sad and this and that. And that's today's prayer. Right? And it's those little things that make up the big thing. You know, you want a child, you want a job, you don't have a job. Okay, Hashem, give me an idea how to get a job today. I've run out of ideas. I've just sent out 40 resumes and nothing's come up. Hashem, I need a new idea. Like, you got to come with a new approach. Every time you pray, something should be new. And it's a problem. For most of us, it's if you have your standard page of things, you just read the page. So you got to make it as detailed as possible. This is not easy. This is not easy, but that's real. That's much more real. And you know, I think a lot of people, they feel guilty if I just say what's in the book. I'm just getting away with the minimum, so I'm going to add. And the more you add, the better. Not necessarily. The more you feel, the better. So for ladies, maybe it's a little easier, but for men, this is like totally impossible. It's very hard for men to feel different every day. A man doesn't even know what it means to feel, let alone 3 times a day to feel differently. That's a very hard thing to understand. But that's, and so Shemaya Tefillah is that point where that has to happen. To make the prayer a special prayer. Okay, good. So now let's,
so
yeah?
Can I just ask one thing?
Sure.
I'm not very sure of. Just say something happens, you fall and you hurt yourself, you've got to go to the doctor, and you don't manage to do this prayer, the Shacharit, and then you've got to do the Mincha. Up to what time can you...
You could do Shacharis till halachic noon. Halachic noon, you have to check exactly, but now it's about 1 o'clock. Give or take a couple minutes here or there. It's about 1 o'clock. And then after that, you can't really pray. And then you'd have to wait till a half an hour after halachic noon. It could even be 1:15. I don't have to check on the thing. And then really you're obliged to daven mincha. That becomes the next prayer. Okay, let's now take a look at some... Let's see how we want to handle this. All right, let's look at a few details in this bracha. A few details to understand some ideas here. We start, let's back on 108, with the word Shema Koleinu. Shema Koleinu. What does that mean? Listen, kolenu, to our kol. What's a kol? So the English just says a voice or a sound. So what does that exactly mean? Listen to my sound. As opposed to, look at the end of the prayer. The end of the prayer says, Baruch atah Hashem, shomea tefilo. The one who listens to prayer. So what was he supposed to do? If you look at a lot of the prayers, usually the beginning and the ending are always symmetrical. Look at almost every prayer. Right? Go to the top of 108. V'li Yerushalayim ircha barachem v'teshuv. You should build up Yerushalayim in mercy. What's the ending of the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, bonei Yerushalayim. Bless God, you should build Yerushalayim. Right? Or the next one, Es Tzemach David, the offspring of David, should sprout quickly. So what's the bracha? Bracha Hashem, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. You should have that salvation spring forth. There's always symmetry, the beginning to any bracha. Look at all the brachas. Right? They're the beginning always, Al HaTzadikim, for the Tzadikim. So blessed be the one who supports and is the trust of the Tzadikim. Here, we're saying, Shema Koleinu. Listen to our sound. Blessed are you, God, the one who listens to prayer. So why, either say, Shema Tfilaseinu, listen to our prayer, Baruch Atem Shomea Tfila, or if you're saying Shema Koleinu, say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol, the one who listens to sound. You hear the problem here. So what's the sound doing over here? Yeah. Okay, so we got to know what Kol really means. That's the point. What does Kol really mean? So the Vilna Gaon has a very nice commentary to this. What does he mean by Kol? And it reflects a lot about this prayer. So I'll just read a few words from the Vilna Gaon. He says there's a difference between the Hebrew word dibur. Dibur means speech. And kol, which is voice. He says, dibur, what is dibur? He says it's lahatim es kavanaso. Dibur is the articulation of what lahatim to literally means to season your intentions. That's what it means. But lahatim is to give meaning to what you're saying. You know, you're saying something that's logical. I'm speaking to you. A wife is talking to her husband and is saying, you know, I need another $100 because we have school books to pay. That's dibur. In other words, I'm telling you something, and it makes sense, it's logical. I'm conveying, I'm articulating a reasonable message that makes sense. That's dibur. Right? Kol dvarim hayotzi mirotzen ha'adam below tam. Kol, a voice, are words that come out of a person that don't really have a reason. That's easily discernible. Give me $100. Why? I think it's a good idea that I should have it. Why? You never know. I just feel I need it. Okay? So, but what was the reason? Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it would help. All right? So, it's very interesting. For example, when Hashem, when Avram and Sarah were arguing about how to deal with Yishmael. So, if you look in the story there, what did Sarah say? Gotta get rid of Yishmael. Why? She didn't really give a lot of answers. She says, I know, I'm the mother of the house, he's not good for the house. It's a bad influence. And Avram says, yeah, but you have to have kindness, you have to have this, you have to have that. And in Avram's mind, whatever Sarah said was not logical. Why would he have a different opinion than Sarah unless he thought Sarah was wrong? Whenever we have a discussion, or you argue, right, if difference of opinions, it's obviously I'm right and you're wrong, right? And therefore, I mean, that's your opinion, but your opinion is of no value, and therefore I want to go with my opinion. So now what you're telling me is just a call. It's a voice. Okay, you're saying something, but I don't agree with you because it's wrong for the following six reasons. So therefore what you're saying is really of no real practicality. What did Hashem say to Avram? Did Hashem say, listen to what your wife says? Hashem says, Kol asher tomer lecha Sarah, whatever Hashem says, Shma bekola, listen to her voice. Even though from your perspective, Avram, what she's saying doesn't make sense, I'm saying she's right. But why? You know what? You can't understand it. You can't understand it. You're a guy. You're a man of chesed. You cannot understand what it means to give tough love. And whatever we're saying in your from your schema of life, this makes no sense. Good, do it anyway. We find this many times. We see by Yitzchak, Hashem blesses Avram, and he says, you know why? Asher shama Avram bekoli. Avram, listen to my voice. Because he listened to my voice, and Rashi says, and he didn't question me. We find many times the patriarchs are always called people who listen to the call, to the voice of Hashem. A lot of times Hashem tells you to do things that you don't understand why you're doing it, but it's the voice of Hashem and you listen. The most classic example is in the book of, what's that? Hakol Kol Yaakov Yudai Midei Esav. Okay, that's could fit in. But the most classic example is in the story of Yoshua. We know when Joshua fought this big battle in Ayalon, so he's fighting the enemies and the sun's about to set, and if the sun sets, the battle ends. So he prays to Hashem to make the sun stand still to extend the daylight hours. And it did happen. So the prophet, when he writes about this, says, V'lohoya kayoma. So he says, it stopped, the sun stopped. And it's like the narrator saying, and this is what happened, right? Hello, Hiksuv al Sevra Yashar. You know, has, and it's written in the book of the Yashar. It's written in the book of Yashar. Has it ever happened such a thing? V'lohaya kayamahu. Never happened such a day before Hashem and afterwards. Lishmoa Hashem bekol ha'ish. That Hashem listens to the voice of a person. It never happened. Yeshua says, stop the sun. Hashem did. So what's bothering the comments? What's he bringing in the book of Sefer Yosher? What's the Sefer Yosher? It's written in the book of Yosher. It's written in the book of the upright. You know, God never did such. What are you mixing in the book of the upright? And we know the Sefer Yosher is code word for the book of Bereishis. So what's that have to do with anything? As a you know, so the rabbis explain. So what does Bereishis have to do with anything? So he said like this. He says, the pasuk means there never was such a day that Hashem listened to the kol ish, the voice of a person. What does that mean? Because of course Hashem listens to people when they pray for something that's necessary, but this wasn't something that had a logical reason. When Yeshua said, make the sun stand still, meaning Yeshua is saying, you know, change nature. Why did God have to change nature? He wants the Jews to win the war. He'll find a way for them to win the war without making the sun stand still. Right? He can have the Jews just the next morning kill them, or make that the enemies don't wander far off at night, and that they can catch them the next morning. There's a lot of ways God could have answered Yeshua and had them win the war. But for some reason, Yeshua says, I want you to do something. I don't really necessarily, it's a valid reason, but it's my call. That's what I want. I want the sun to stand still, and that we can get the job done now. Now, there is no reason for Hashem to do this, because there's many ways for Hashem to help you win the enemy without doing miracles. But you know what? Because it says in the book of Bereishis, Yoshua descends from people who always listened to my voice when it didn't make sense to them. So you know what? I'll listen to your voice even when it doesn't make sense to me. That's what Hashem was saying. It's written in the book of Bereishis. So has it ever been that God listens to the voice of a person? Why should someone listen to what you want, although it may not be so logical? The answer is because, you know what? You come from parents who do the same thing. And we know that in any relationship. In any relationship, if let's say somebody comes, a young man who's down and out, he comes to you for a handout. And you say, well, have you done this? Have you done that? No, but I want a handout anyway. You want to say no, but you know what? His parents are best friends of you. And when you wanted some mishigasim, those parents agreed and gave you what you wanted. Then you're going to remember the parents. Say, okay, you know what? Maybe it really doesn't make sense, but you know, I'll do it for you anyway because your parents did it for me too. So that's the same thing over here. Now, what's the saying over here? So the point is, when we say Shema Kolenu, what we're saying to Hashem is, not everything we're going to say, I can necessarily articulate in a way that really makes complete sense. And the truth is, I may not deserve that you should listen to my call. But you know what? I come from stock of people who did listen to your call, so even if I'm not worthy, listen to my voice as well. In other words, we're not talking about irrational things. You know, in other words, when you talk to Hashem and you say, Hashem, please give me this, Hashem could say, what you're asking for is not logical. You're asking for a raise. Well, you know what? I've seen in the past, your raises, you haven't really given a lot of tzedakah with those raises. So why should I give you tzedakah now? And that could be a problem. That could be a major problem. For Hashem saying, I'm not going to answer you. But when you say Shema Kolein, what you're saying is, I know even what I'm asking for doesn't make sense because I haven't really given enough tzedakah yet. And I haven't in the past shown a track record deserving that you should answer me now. But you know what? It's a kol. It's a voice. And I can't really argue it well enough. But you know what? My grandparents did the same thing. When you asked them to do things and you didn't explain it well enough, they did it also. So do it for me too. Right? So what this teaches us is that you don't have to worry and say, I'm really not that worthy. And since I'm not that worthy, who am I to ask this from God? So you have to say to yourself, you know what? But I still come from great grandparents who listened to God when his requests weren't so worthy either. And because of that, I'm entitled. And when Hashem will answer you, hopefully you'll make good on those gifts that Hashem gives you. So that's a beautiful idea of Shema Koleinu. Koleinu much more than the concept of Tefillah. You see, Tefillah is already different. The rabbis say, for example, as we talk about, we go on, Kikel Shomea Tefillos V'Sachanunim. We say Hashem, he listens to tefillos and tachanunim. Hashem listens to prayers and tachanunim, supplications. What's the difference between a tefila and a prayer? So the Vilna Gaon, again, so the Gros says, the Vilna Gaon says, tefila comes from the expression pileo. Pileo means to argue a case in court. To argue a case in court. Where you feel I have a legitimate cause here, right? He says tefillah is a lashon machshava v'cheshbon. It's well thought out, well calculated. We have with Hashem, right? Where Yaakov said about Yosef, "Re'ah panecha lo pilalti." I never expected to ever see your face again. Pilal means I expect. I'm making a case, and my case is a good case. And I'm expecting to get something. All the brachas we say. In Shmoneh Esrei, we always present the case. You know, Atochonei L'Ramdas. You're the one who gives intellect. We always give you a key. And therefore, because of this, you should do that. Most of our prayers are pretty well thought out, and they're reasoned prayers. On the other hand, Tachanunim, a supplication, comes to the word Chein, which means charm, which means I do it, and even though you don't really deserve it. Chein comes to the word Chinam, for free, means getting a gift for free. So we're saying, God, you're the person who you listen to tefillos and tachanunim. And of course, the best way to get answered is shomea tefillah. We end up, ruch adam shomea tefillah, who listens to tefillah. Which means to say, that really is the best way. The best way I should pray is my prayer is a tefillah. It's reasoned what I want, I know what I want, I've earned what I want, I'm making a case for what I want. But we start off, on the other hand, saying Shema Koleinu. But even if it's not a tefillah, even if it's not the best, please Shema Koleinu, listen to my voice. And my voice is one that even if I don't have the best reasons, you should listen. And if you look throughout this prayer, the words keep bouncing back and forth. Deserve it, undeserve it, deserve it. You start Shema Koleinu, then we say Hashem. Hashem is the attribute of mercy. Elokeinu is the attribute of justice. So listen to me either because you're going to have mercy on me or because of justice you deserve to listen to me. Okay, and there's a number of them. You know, Kabbal Berachamim Uveratzon. Accept with mercy or willingly. Willingly is if I deserve it and mercy is if I don't deserve it. Right? Because you're a Shomea Tefilos V'Sachanunim. You answer Tefilos which are reasoned prayers and Tachanunim are supplications where I don't deserve it. You go through this whole prayer. And there's more, it gets too complicated to know. Chus and Rachem is also differences. Rachem means you have Rachmonis and some of them have nothing. Chus is let's say, something I make. I have mercy on something I create versus something that has nothing going for it. So there's reason to have mercy or not reason to have mercy. So throughout this prayer, we keep saying, you know what? If I deserve it, it's great. And if I don't deserve it, I want you also to answer me. And we're playing it both ways. And I know ultimately it should be Shema Tefillah. I know the best way is Shema Tefillah. So you may ask, well, listen, if you're getting mercy, then why do you want to get things through justice? Once you're coming out to mercy, then what do I need to get anything out of justice? Because the answer is you always want to really get something out of justice. What do I mean? it's always, when you get a gift from God, when do you feel better? When you deserve the gift or if you don't deserve the gift? When do you feel better about yourself? Here, I'm going to give you a check for $1,000. Why? It's a gift. You feel good getting a gift from me? Okay, I'll tell you what. How about you know, do a job for me for a week. I'll give you $1,000. Feel better now? Mm-hmm. Of course you feel better because you earned it. You justifiably deserve it. You're not getting a handout. Oh, you did nothing. Your mom is so lazy. But here, take $1,000. You feel like a nothing, right? You come to God. So we come to God. We can come to God one of two ways. Either way, you're going to come to God. You come to God and say, listen, you know, Shema Koleinu, listen to my voice. I really don't have a good reason. All the blessings you've given me, I've squandered them. I haven't used them the right way. And I'm really in trouble. And I even need more from you. And it's really no... You have to have a lot of pity, a lot of mercy on me. Please, Hashem, listen to me. Okay, listen, you need it, you need it. And He'll give it to you, hopefully. And when you get it, you don't really feel that great. I mean, you're relieved that you're not evicted from your house, but, you know, I really didn't deserve it. You feel like a schmo, but at least you got it. Okay, that's one level. You'd love better to say, listen, Hashem, you know every penny you ever gave me, I never wasted a penny. And every penny I give, I pay for my kids' tuition, and I give tzedakah. I never gone to Aurelia once. I never gambled once. I never did this. I never did that. I never bought myself anything I didn't need. And whatever little you give, I never complain. Blah, 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 blah. Hashem, I figure by law you should give me. And it's coming to me, not, you know, because I deserve it. And if He gives it to you, then you walk away with your head up. That's Shema Tefillah. And really, that's what we should be doing. We should be trying to live the kind of life that Hashem is answering our tefillah as opposed to giving us a handout. And therefore, as we're finishing the request section, we're cognizant of both aspects. And therefore, when you do ask God to give you an easy day at No Frills when you're shopping, are you asking because you deserve it, or are you asking because you're wanting Rachmanis? Well, you know, if I get through the shopping quickly, then I can watch a soap opera. Or if I get through it quickly, I can go to the rabbi's class. Right? There's a difference. It's a difference in the request. Right? So you hope that although many of us start off with Shema Koleinu, listen to our voice, we don't really have to deserve it, but you know, but our parents, our grandparents, they listened to you when it was hard. And I hope I'll be at the level that one day Shema Tefillah, that what I'm going to tell you is going to be a real tefillah. A real prayer that's well thought out, reasoned, and I deserve what I have. And then you'll feel good about yourself asking. And then you're entitled to ask for any little thing. You know, yeah, I can ask from God that I shouldn't waste a half hour there, because if I, with that extra hour, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I have nothing to be ashamed of to say, why shouldn't I be able to get a quick line? Why shouldn't I? What, the other guy, the person who's not Jewish, who's just going to run to their TV now that they can get their done quicker, he should get a good line and I shouldn't? I have to drive a carpool all the way down to get my kids. I don't want to be late for that. That's important. So now you have to give me a quick... What am I going to shopping for? If not to buy food for my kids, this whole thing is a chesed for them. What am I getting out of this? Complaints? They won't be happy with what I bought. I got a schlep, I got a this, I got a that. All I'm doing is a chesed. So I'm doing a chesed, so make the chesed a little easier that I can get through it quickly, that I can go on to the next chesed. That's a real tefillah. And there's no such thing as a small tefillah, because every minute of yours is important. If you say, this isn't important, that isn't important, so what, it's better you should wait a half an hour here and wait? Yeah, a person who thinks that way could, I'm not saying always, because really what I do all the time isn't really that important. A person should never think that. You're always doing important things. If you're doing what Hashem wants you to do, then there's no such thing as a small thing that's not important. Okay? All right, let's just add one more thing, and we're going to have to do a little bit of a jump here. I'm going to do this quickly. So this prayer is pretty clear. What makes it very difficult is to understand the next prayer. Even though we did it before, but let's go into Ritzei just for a minute to realize there's something very difficult in the next prayer. So what did we pray here? God, listen to my prayer. Right? That's what we said. What are we saying? God, listen to me. Which means, you know, accept what I said. Bottom line, give me what I want. I've davened a whole davening. Please give me what I've asked for. Okay, so now tell me what the next tefillah is. Ritzei Hashem, we're on page 110, 111. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Be'amchoi Yisrael Uv'Yisrael Osam. Be favorable, Hashem, our God, towards your people Israel and their prayer. What does that mean? Be favorable. What does it mean, be favorable? Be favorable to the Jews and to their prayer. What does that mean, to be favorable to a prayer? Now we throw in another thing. Let's reinstitute the servant service to your innermost sanctum. V'shei Yisrael, and return the korbanos. Now listen to this one. Usvila sum and their prayers, be'ava sekabel barasam, accept willingly? I just asked you that in the prayer before. Usehila ratzon tamid avodas shalom, and let the service of the Jewish people always be desirable to you? What's going on? We're mixing in a whole bunch of things here. Oh, we want the Beis Hamikdash back. But we're saying accept our prayers. We just said accept our prayers. What are you asking twice to accept our prayers? Right? So it's a very difficult prayer to understand. But obviously there's some different verbs here that make a difference. The first word is ritzei. Ritzei comes from the word ritsui. Ritsui, which means, you know, in the Talmud, by a korban, by an animal offering, there's a concept of ritsui, that it's acceptable, it worked. Something higher about ritsui than Kabbalah. So what is that? So to make a long story short, it's really a long, Soloveitchik has a whole big piece on this. But to make a long story short, you know, the Gemara has two opinions as to where we have the three prayers from. Shachris, Mincha, Marv. One opinion is the rabbis instituted as opposed to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram did Shachris, Yaakov, Yitzchak did Mincha, Yaakov did Marv, and we daven Shachris, Mincha, Marv for that. Another rabbi says, no, the rabbis instituted juxtaposed to the korbanos, the animal offerings. There was an early morning communal offering and the late afternoon communal offering. That's Shachris and Mincha. Marv? Okay, Marv, you really don't have to daven Marv. It's not so obligatory. Okay, well, they burn the fats at night. Okay, so we daven Marv. So it seems to be there's an argument, like, do we pray three times because the patriarchs did? Do we pray because the animal offerings were brought? So what's going on? So Soloveitchik says a beautiful idea. He says that it's not an argument. There are two aspects to prayer. There's the praying aspect of prayer, and there's the sacrificial aspect of prayer. Every time you open your mouth and talk to God, two things have to be going on over here. The one thing is that you are praying to Him, and the other is you're offering a sacrifice to Him, even if there's no animal in the room. There's two concepts. There's two aspects of saying a prayer, and then obviously there's going to be two aspects of receiving a prayer. So for the aspect of me, of the prayer aspect of prayer, that was the last bracha. Shema Kolenu. Accept the prayer aspect of prayer. Really, the Gemara is a fascinating statement as it analyzes all these brachas. When we finish Shema Kolenu, the Gemara says, until now is the order of tefillah, of prayer. From now on is the order of avoda, is of the order of service. So what does it mean to say? It says, so Shema Kolenu, we're saying, Hashem, I finished the aspect of prayer, and I want you to accept the prayer aspect of prayer. But then there's an aspect of the sacrificial, and I'll explain what that means. The sacrificial aspect of prayer, that's Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, accept my sacrifice to you. And then we say, and bring back the sacrificial order. That reflects it as well, and the korbanos. And then we go back and forth, and also the prayers. The prayer that is the sacrificial part of prayer should be accepted before you. So here we're talking about the sacrifice part of prayer should be accepted as opposed to just the prayer part of prayer. Therefore, the prayer part of prayer, that's what the patriarchs introduced. The sacrificial part of prayer, that was once the Beis HaMikdash. There was no more korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have a sacrificial order, so now my prayer has to include, there's a sacrificial concept in prayer that has to exist as well. Prayer now has to carry a double load. Because people ask, did they pray when there was a Beis HaMikdash? Sure, but they were praying for different things. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, the sacrificial order was the sacrificial order, and prayer was prayer. Once there was no longer in the Second Temple, there was no more daily offering or during the exile between first, second temple. There was no sacrificial order, so prayer had to take on the second aspect of the person's sacrifices during prayer. So what does that mean? The prayer part is easy. Hashem, I need this. Hashem, I need this. Hashem, I need this. That's the prayer part. What's the sacrificial part? The answer is we sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice ourselves. Prayer, the prayer aspect of prayer is a prayer aspect when I have kavana, when I'm concentrating, when I'm saying, this is what I need, this is what I want, and I know it can come from you. That's the prayer part of prayer. That's the request. But the sacrificial part of prayer needs a different element. Now, when you brought a regular animal, what did you think about? When you normally brought an animal. An animal is brought, it's killed, it's surrendered existence before Hashem. And the one who brings that animal should be thinking the same thing. I surrender my existence before Hashem. When a person says the following, everything I have, Hashem, is from you, and nothing I have is from me. Please help me. That is a sacrifice. When a person says, in front of you, Hashem, I am nothing. So totally humbling yourself and surrendering yourself before Hashem, that is a sacrifice. Making yourself, nullifying yourself before Hashem, that's a sacrifice. And therefore not make sense what happens right after. That's Ritzeh. Ritzeh, Hashem, accept my personal sacrifice. Then what do you do right after Ritzeh? Modim, you bow down. That's the physical act of surrendering yourself before Hashem. If you say, Hashem, accept my sacrifice of my prayer, then you surrender to Hashem and bow down and confess that everything comes from Him, a very humbling experience. Right? So now, what do we have here? So we've got this incredible idea of humility in prayer. This idea of humility in prayer. When you're praying to Hashem, on the one hand, you're acknowledging that He's the one that's going to give it to you, and that's a prayer. But on the other hand, you're saying, and without you, Hashem, I would be nothing. So it's not like I pray to Hashem, and you know what? And there's other options. I'll pray to Hashem, and you know, and I can go on, and I can make it happen even without you. So you may have prayed, but you didn't offer yourself before Hashem. And that's a really important thing, because ultimately, that is what brings unity amongst the Jewish people. And the whole idea of the sacrifice, is that the sacrifice was the Korban Tamid, the communal offering. It was one animal that represented all the Jews. How can one animal represent all the Jews and every Jew is different? Well, no, they can all be the same if they all surrender before Hashem. See, what is it that takes away from Jewish unity? We talk a lot about unity. What prevents Jewish unity? It's the lack of a person to be humble. If a person was humble, he would recognize the contributions that other people make in their lives. If you're not humble, you don't think anybody has anything to offer. So why would you want to be with the other person? To the degree that a person is humble, he can believe that other people have what to contribute, and therefore he could be unified with other people. If you're humble before Hashem, you can be humble before other people. And therefore you could work as one before Hashem. Which really explains a lot of things now. Because now we come back to our first, the lesson before, we'll answer a very interesting thing. If you go back to 108, we'll end with this. Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu. Shema Koleinu. Listen to our voice. What do you mean our voice? It should be our voices. What do you mean our voice? Our voice? Our voices. Barachim Rasan as tefillah seinu. The word tefillah seinu means our tefillah, not our prayer, not our prayers. It would be tefillah seinu. What is going on? We're asking God, accept our prayer? What do you mean our prayer? My prayer. Our prayers. Right? The truth of the matter is that if you have the right sacrificial understanding in prayer, you're humble enough, then all of the Jewish people's prayer is one prayer. Because we all are doing the same thing. We're humbling ourselves before Hashem. And that's why we pray in a minyan. Men pray in a minyan. In other words, to show the idea that we can all be humble and pray before Hashem. And because all we really want is the ratzon of Hashem. We don't have anything personal. Even whatever is personal is only so that I can do the will of Hashem. So you see a beautiful aspect in the fact that there's two prayers asking for receiving what we've done. So the first is saying, please receive my prayer, what I'm asking for, and then receive my korban, that I am a korban before Hashem, and I totally surrender my existence before Hashem, which is a much deeper aspect that we have to have because we don't have korbanos anymore. But even if there were korbanos, we still would have to do regular prayers. So we've now jumped into a whole sacrificial part of our prayer, which now it makes sense where we say v'sechazenu einenu, because we finished the request, so why does Rich say another request? The answer is it's only a request for animal offerings insofar as that we can do the sacrificial part in a better way than just through my prayer. My prayer was a sacrifice. It's not good enough. It's better if there's a real animal, that we all are represented by that animal. I want you to accept my sacrifice now, but it's really better if it was an animal. So it's not like a brand new request. It's part of the old request. Accept my giving myself over to you. And you know what? I can never do it so well as if we'd really have a korban. And we wish that they will come soon when the Mesa Mikdash comes from Harry Amenu. Amen. Okay, so thank you for listening.